What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind listener mail. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Joe McCormick, and it is Monday, the day of each week that we read back messages from the Stuff to Blow Your Mind mailbag. If you would like to get in touch and you've never done it before, why not give it a shot? You can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com. We like all kinds of messages. We, of course, always like feedback to recent episodes, especially if you have something interesting you'd like to add to a topic we covered that we didn't get to. Or, of course, if you have corrections, send them on in, or if you have questions about a topic we talked about, or if you'd like to suggest something for the future, all of that's fair game. Send it to us. contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com. Rob, do you mind if I kick things off with this message from Melissa in response to the vegetable lamb of Tartary?
Yeah, let's have it.
Melissa says, "Hello, Stuff to Blow Your Mind team. I'm Melissa from Taiwan, who listens to podcasts to know interesting things and learn English. Thank you for all those fantastic episodes. They really blow my mind. Here, I would like to share an idea for a future episode. Hope you don't mind, because maybe you did this topic before. If not, that would be wonderful. The idea is the Wok Wok tree. I heard about the story about the vegetable lamb of Tartary from your show. So when I heard of the Wok Wok tree from a kids' educational TV show talking about Islamic art, the vegetable lamb of Tartary came to mind immediately. Both topics related for me because the two trees both produce animals. The Wok Wok tree produces fruit looking like women, men, or monster anima. After Googling, I found out that a similar tree was described in the Chinese ancient novel Journey to the West. Also, the Wok Wok tree has some links to Indian ancient stories. So weird, but we're able to trace the historical origins of this tree. It both appeared in literature and artwork, surprisingly. Wishing you like this suggestion. Love your show. Have a great, cool, hydrated summer. Melissa." Thanks, Melissa. I don't know if I was aware of this before. If I'd ever come across this, it did not really stick in my mind. But so I looked this up. Again, it's called the Wok Wok tree, sometimes spelled W-A-K-W-A-K or sometimes W-A-Q-W-A-Q. I found a very cool illustration from a 14th century Arabic text called Kitab al-Bulhan, which that name translates to something like the Book of Wonders. So it's a 14th century text attributed to an author named Abdul Hassan al-Isfahani. And in this illustration, yeah, there's like a tree growing up from the earth and there are fruits coming off of it. And some of the fruits apparently like seems to be according to their level of ripeness, start splitting open. And then when they split open, there are sort of legs dangling out of them. And then some have legs and torsos dangling out. And one has like a whole body with a fully formed head with hair. And I was reading about this text. Apparently, it says that this tree exists in a land, I think, where there are only women. And so the people there reproduce because they are the women are grown from the tree.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't remember coming across this one before, and I've certainly touched on some Arabic bestiaries on the Monster Fact before, but yeah, this is pretty amazing. As I was looking it up, I also noted that it has appeared as an enemy in, I think, two Castlevania games, so
great.
Our Castlevania players out there may have already been at least somewhat familiar with the concept.
Well, very interesting. Thank you for bringing it to our attention, Melissa. And indeed, maybe this legend will be worth a deeper exploration in a full episode someday.
All right. This one comes to us from Shell Dean. This is in response to our series on stickiness. Subject title, Gecko Hands. She says, "Hi, guys. I've just finished listening to the second stickiness episode. It was so interesting and really made me think about the various glues and adhesives I use day to day. In your call for sticky superheroes, not really a hero, but in the third Takeshi Kovacs novel, Woken Furies by Richard K. Morgan, Takeshi is wearing a genetically enhanced sleeve." This is like a body. I'll explain this in a second. "That has gecko abilities, which is used as a plot device. It always stuck with me, because I thought it was interesting. No spoilers. I highly recommend reading the trilogy. Thanks for the great podcast, Sheldine."
Okay, so do you know this book, Rob?
Yeah, I read this trilogy years back. It's been a long time. And then I watched the Netflix adaptation of the first two books, sort of. I think they ended up taking a lot of liberties with the second one. But yeah, it's the basic idea is like it's a world where consciousness or whatever ends up being consciousness in a futuristic world like this can be re-sleeved into different bodies. And this is used to travel between planets in some cases. It's also used to ensure some sort of immortality for the wealthy. And it also enables a lot of action sequences and also some occasional sexy scenarios as well. They're fairly graphic books. But I remember them being pretty fun. And yeah, I think it is the second novel where he ends up in like a special military sleeve that has a lot of advanced features, and one of them is like gecko hands. And after some sort of a big fight, he wakes up and he finds that he's dangling by like a few fingers on that hand, and his arm's been been completely dislocated, but yeah, the gecko fingers are still holding on.
Well, that does seem plausible to me. I mean, the spatulae are, again, so sticky that you may well be able to dangle by a single hand or even a single finger. All right, this next message is from Wonko, and this has a gecko as pet subject matter. So, Rob, you may be more qualified to comment on this. Wonko says, "Robert and Joe, I'm listening to your stickiness part two and your discussion of geckos climbing. I wanted to show you another method of how a gecko might cling to a surface. This is a tokay gecko, or tokay, T-O-K-A-Y. I don't know how you pronounce that. T-O-K-A-Y gecko. One of the more aggressive species we've domesticated, and this is actually a necessary part of socializing a new pet. No harm was done. Thank you for your time, Wonko." So what is Wonko talking about? Well, they attach a picture of a gecko just biting the tip of a finger and dangling from that finger by the bite.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this variety of gecko. The one that my son has is a leopard gecko, and he does occasionally nip, but I mean, my son never complains about it, so I don't think it's too traumatic an experience. But I don't know about these guys here.
To be clear, I don't know if I specified, it is biting a human finger and dangling from it, not a gecko finger.
Yeah, it's a handsome creature, though. I can see where where one might be inspired to try and domesticate it.
Yeah, look at that nice pebbly looking skin. I want to pet it.
Yeah. They're very interesting to touch. I don't hold the leopard gecko here at the house much, but he's very fun to watch. You know, watch him hunt when there's a cricket or a mealworm in there for him, and you know, and he occasionally explores, and then he'll go into his hide and shed all of his skin and then eat it all. So you never actually see any of the leftover skin. And then he's back out looking fresh and new, ready to face the day.
How often does he shed skin?
Goodness, I forget the, I was just looking at the figures the other day when we were researching all this. I want to say it's like a few weeks, but I could be wrong on that. But it's hard to tell because he doesn't do it out where you can see it. And then he consumes all of the evidence.
I like that.
Yeah. Highly efficient. All right. This one comes to us from Angelo. Angelo says, "Hi, Robert and Joe. I was listening to your second episode on stickiness, and I wanted to write when you talked about Spider-Man's ability to stick to walls. I think the only instance I can think of where they explain his ability to stick to walls was in the first Tobey Maguire movie. In the scene after getting bit by a genetically modified spider, we get an extreme close-up of the tiny retractable hairs coming out of his hands, which then allow him to stick to surfaces." See, it's been a long time since I've seen that one. I forgot about this.
That's the one with Willem Dafoe. That's what's notable about that movie to me.
Yeah, he plays the Green Goblin, and is pretty fantastic in the role.
But I wonder, why did they put him in a mask? You cast Willem Dafoe, and then why not just like let him use his expressive face?
Yeah, I don't know. The Green Goblin's a difficult one to adapt. Yeah, I remember they had kind of a clunky looking suit for him there. But then the actual comic book Green Goblin is just bonkers. So like, how do you really adapt that? And I think there were some different things they tried. It seems like I've seen some like behind the scenes footage or stills where they tried a different approach to Defoe as the Green Goblin, and for whatever reason they didn't like it.
I'm trying to remember also, did that have like James Franco in it or something?
Potentially, yeah.
As the Green Goblin, as son of Green Goblin.
yeah, because there's the whole thing where you have is the Osborns, and there's the elder Osborn, the younger Osborn, and the younger Osborn is also going to eventually become one of the Goblin. There are a whole bunch of goblins. There's like Green Goblin, Hobgoblin, lots of goblins flying around.
Oh my God, I remembered this right. I just looked it up. He plays Harry Osborn, who was, I said son of Green Goblin. This says alias here is the new Goblin, Little Goblin, or Goblin Junior.
Yeah. I think in the comics, he becomes both Green Goblin and Hobgoblin, and also Goblin Prince. I don't know what Goblin Prince is, but you know, like I say, a lot of goblins in the Spider-Man universe.
But not the Goblin King. We know who that is.
Yes. Now, Angela continues here and says, presumably, Spider-Man had to learn how to control when these hairs would come out, because in a previous scene, he would accidentally get objects stuck to his hands. As for the webbing, in the 1990s animated series, Spider-Man explains that he didn't get the ability to produce web in his body. However, the spider that bit him transmitted the knowledge of enzymes that allowed him to create web fluid that he could put in web shooters. Okay, well, that all checks out. There's absolutely no issue to be had with that.
Right, because by being a creature, you automatically have knowledge of all of the chemistry of what's in your body.
Sure, why not? Angelo continues, he also explained in various episodes during the series that his webs were biodegradable and would naturally dissolve after a couple of hours. Okay, that's good, because a bad guy would be webbed up long enough for the police to come and arrest him. The whole biodegradable web was even a plot point that was used to prove that Spider-Man was being framed for a series of robberies because the web used by the imposter never dissolved. As always, your podcast is an enjoyable treasure trove of scientific knowledge. Keep up the excellent work, and thanks, Angelo.
Thank you, Angelo.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. I remember watching that one a lot, but I don't remember that particular episode. But it was fun. You had like, you know, Morbius is showing up at now and again. Blade shows up.
Morbius. You know, all these characters. Oh, my God. Oh, I just now remembered that idea of the lost ending of Blade, where Blade like sees Morbius, right?
Yeah, that was something I think they actually shot some footage for it and they didn't use it. I mean, Morbius is a much cooler character than some people may realize based on the recent cinematic incarnation of the character.
Wait, I can't remember. So I watched the recent Morbius movie on a plane. I don't know if there's an Alderman. I guess there probably is not.
I think that's it. That you watched the Morbius movie.
You know, it was bad, and I thought it would be funnier, but it's funny in concept, at least, if not in the actual experience of watching. Did you ever see it?
I think I looked at it on an airplane. I did the thing where I looked at it, I like flipped around in it to see if it was something that would distract me, and it did not pass the test, so I did something else instead.
Well done, sir. Well done. You made the correct call that I failed that test.
Yeah. I mean, I like some of the people that are in it. And again, Morbius, the character, I think is pretty interesting and has potential, but I don't know. I don't know. This doesn't look like it for me.
The real movie could not possibly compete with our AI-generated short story, Morbius Saves Christmas. I don't know if you remember that, that gem.
I do remember that, yeah. I haven't watched any of these newer Spider-Man villain-only movies, but I think if I was, I would probably watch one of the Tom Hardy Venom movies. Those at least look like they're maybe a little bit bonkers enough for me to have a good time with, but I haven't gotten around to it.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Oh. Okay, we got one response to a previous listener mail from Ian. Here we got some news you can use. So Ian says, "Dear Rob and Joe, in your listener mail episode from August 14th, you had a brief digression about fruit flies and Joe's failed attempts to be rid of them with vinegar and dish soap." That's true. Ian says, "So I wanted to share a technique that has always worked for me. Get a bottle of fruit juice. We've used both grape and cranberry apple with good results. And once there's about an eighth of an inch of juice left in the bottom of the bottle, cover the top with plastic wrap held on by a rubber band, poke a small hole in the plastic wrap, and set it out on the counter. The fruit flies will follow the smell of the juice into the bottle through the small hole, but once inside, they will be trapped with nothing to guide them out again. This technique has had 100% effectiveness at our house, and as you know, anecdotal evidence is the best kind." I know it's been a while since that episode, so hopefully you've already gotten rid of your fruit flies this time, but maybe it'll help next time they show up. Thanks for the great show, Ian. Thanks for the tip, Ian. Folks at home, yeah, try it out. See if it works with 100% effectiveness. That's a strong promise, Ian.
Do you still have fruit flies?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. Well, you defeated them somehow.
One at a time with my hands.
All right. We have one more message. This is from the Weird House Cinema folder. Who is this writing in? Zolt?
I think so.
Zolt writes in and says, "Dear Rob and Joe, just a quick remark to last week's Weird House Cinema episode about the green slime. The monsters in the movie consume energy and heat. We have seen them survive and get stronger from the decontamination procedure and sunlight exposure, among other things. By extent, would they also not only survive but get stronger in the heat generated by atmospheric entry?" This occurs late in the film. Mm-hmm. "Stronger than ever before? Maybe a setup for a sequel? All the best, Zolt."
Zolt, I had exactly the same thought. So they spend the whole movie showing that heat and electricity and high energy that's supposed to kill all forms of life only makes the green slime monsters stronger. But then at the end, they're like, "Well, I know how we'll get them. We'll send them, you know, crashing down through the atmosphere and they will burn up on reentry." No, I mean, like, that's just more heat. Wouldn't that just make them stronger? You're exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's how they became so dominant on that asteroid to begin with, right?
I was thinking, well, then how could you defeat them? And I think the answer is clear. You'd have to freeze them. You have to beat them by freezing them, right?
Yeah, the old blob technique.
Oh, I forgot they froze the blob.
Yeah, in the original they did. That was, they used like fire extinguishers. Froze it up and then airlifted it to the North Pole, I think.
Really? That's funny. Yeah. Oh, no, but by now it'd be melting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they're setting up that eventual sequel, right? Though there was a proper sequel to The Blob. And then, of course, there was the 80s remake that was a heck of a lot of fun.
Oh, I haven't seen that in many years, but I remember it being quite good.
Yeah, I watched it a few years back, and I was really impressed with it. I feel like it has it manages to bring a lot of authentic Blob vibe and is, you know, very much in some respects a remake of the original. But then there's this kind of Stephen King-esque flavor to it. King didn't actually have anything to do with the production of the film, but there seems to be some Stephen King-inspired energy to it. It has a great cast, great effects. I think if we were ever to do a Blob film on Weird House, I'd be hard pressed to choose between the original and the 80s. Like, they both are a lot of fun in slightly different ways. And of course have a great monster at the center of things.
I think I know what you're talking about with the Stephen King in the 80s one. I have vague memories of that kind of Castle Rock aromas.
Yeah. So that would be something fun to talk about if we ever did the 80s Blob movie. But the original Blob has that great theme song. So it just depends on what kind of mood we're in, right?
Okay. So does that do it for today?
I believe it does. Yes. So just a reminder, listener mail episodes, these are publishing on Mondays every week in the Stuff to Blow Your Mind podcast feed. We have core episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Normally there's an artifact or a monster fact on Wednesday, and on Fridays, we set aside most serious concerns on Weird House Cinema and just talk about a weird movie like we've just been talking about here. This week is going to be, I think, slightly different. Today is technically a holiday. That means tomorrow's episode is going to be a vault episode. Wednesday's episode is preempted by some other content. But Thursday and Friday, all new stuff for you, so stay tuned.
Huge thanks to our excellent audio producer, JJ Posway. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.